All right, welcome back, everyone. Ready to dive into something kind of universal? I mean, who doesn't want more fulfillment and joy?
Right.
That's exactly what we're exploring today. Chapter 19 from Stephen Scott's Stop Sabotaging Your Best Life.
Oh, interesting. Scott's work is always insightful.
He's got over 20 years helping people reach their potential, so I'm really curious what he says about this. You know, sustaining fulfillment and joy. It sounds tricky.
Well, what's cool is Scott doesn't frame it as like, reach this goal and bam, you're happy forever.
Okay, so not a finish line kind of thing.
Nope. More like, how do you live in a way that keeps that joy going? He's big on the choices we make daily, shaping that experience.
Gotcha. So actively building a fulfilling life every day, not just coasting after some achievement.
Exactly. And one of the foundational pieces he keeps coming back to is gratitude.
Gratitude. Mm. Okay. Powerful stuff. But how does he suggest we, like, practice that?
Super simple, actually. Start or end your day reflecting on three things you're grateful for.
Just three. Seems doable. But why is that so key?
Yeah. It shifts your whole perspective. You know how sometimes we fixate on what's missing, what's going wrong?
Oh, totally. Scarcity mindset, right?
Exactly. Gratitude helps rewire that. You start seeing the abundance around you, appreciating what you already have.
Training your brain to look for the good, not just the problems. Love it. But okay, gratitude sets the stage. But then what? How do we actually fill our lives with meaning?
That's where meaningful activities come in.
Meaningful activities, like what kind of things?
Anything that lights you up. Things that resonate with your values, your passions. Could be creating art, volunteering, deep conversations with loved ones. It's unique to each person.
So it's about figuring out what makes you feel alive, energized.
Precisely. And get this, Scott says, when you connect those activities to a larger purpose, the fulfillment gets even stronger.
Okay, purpose. What exactly does he mean by that?
The why behind what we do. The driving force, the motivation.
So not just enjoying it, but knowing why it matters.
Yep. Like maybe your purpose is making people laugh or solving tough problems or creating beauty in the world. It's about your impact.
Deep stuff. Figuring out that why seems like a journey in itself, honestly.
It is. And Scott's big on revisiting your purpose regularly, especially when things get tough. It's like a compass keeping you on course.
Makes sense. Easy to lose sight of the big picture when life's chaotic. But how do we stay connected to that joy, that fulfillment right now in the present moment?
Ah, that's where mindfulness comes in. Scott's a firm believer that true fulfillment is in the now, not dwelling on the past or worrying about the future.
Be present, basically. Easier said than done sometimes.
True. But remember that gratitude practice. Scott says apply that same awareness to noticing small joys throughout your day.
Like what kind of joys?
A delicious meal, a kind gesture from someone, the beauty of nature, actively savoring those moments.
Training yourself to appreciate the little things. I like that. It could really change how we experience each day.
Absolutely. But important to remember, we can't be on all the time, constantly chasing fulfillment. Gotta have balance.
Right. Gotta avoid burnout. What's Scott's take on work-life balance then?
He's all about balancing work with play, making sure there's time for rest, spontaneity, pure enjoyment.
So giving yourself permission to relax, have fun, it's not all about productivity.
Exactly. This balance is key for preventing burnout and staying energized long-term. It's about creating a sustainable rhythm for your life.
Makes total sense. Now I'm curious about what Scott says about generosity. How does giving to others fit into creating a fulfilling life?
Great question. He actually highlights how giving back, volunteering, supporting friends and family, random acts of kindness can actually boost our own sense of fulfillment.
So by helping others, we help ourselves too. Kind of like a ripple effect.
Beautiful way to put it. It's that interconnectedness, reminding us that our well-being is tied to others. It creates this beautiful, positive feedback loop. But even with all these great strategies, sometimes it's us getting in our own way, you know?
Oh, for sure. Like, you have goals, aspirations, but something holds you back. Classic self-sabotage.
And that's exactly what Scott dives into in Chapter 2. What's fascinating is how sneaky these behaviors can be.
Sneaky, huh? Like, what? Give us some examples. What does self-sabotage actually look like?
Think about procrastination. We've all been there.
Oh, yeah. Pushing things off even when they're important. Guilty as charged.
Or how about overthinking? Getting stuck in your head, never taking action.
Analysis paralysis. That's me sometimes. Oh, and perfectionism. Thinking if it can't be perfect, it's not worth doing at all.
All classic examples. And while they might feel comfy in the moment, like you're in control or protecting yourself.
Right, avoiding potential failure or disappointment.
Exactly. But ultimately, they hold you back from reaching your full potential.
So how do we break free? How do we actually overcome these self-sabotaging tendencies?
Awareness is huge, EE. Start noticing those thoughts that pop up when you're about to do something challenging.
Like, I'm not ready, or what if this doesn't work out? That inner critic voice.
Exactly. Recognize it for what it is. Self-sabotage trying to keep you small.
So call it out, like, hey, I see you trying to hold me back.
You got it. And then you can start challenging those fears. Ask yourself, what am I really afraid of? Failure. Rejection. The unknown.
Naming the fear, that's powerful. It loses its grip when you bring it into the light.
It does. And this ties into Scott's advice on decision-making in Chapter 3. Simplifying choices, not overthinking, accepting uncertainty.
Less thinking, more doing. Got it.
Mm.
But easier said than done when fear and self-doubt are clouding things up.
That's where connecting to your core values comes in.
Your values, okay.
When you're clear on what truly matters to you, it's easier to make decisions aligned with that, even if they're scary.
It's like that compass guiding you toward choices that feel right, even when they're tough.
Exactly. And no decision is ever perfect. Gotta accept some level of risk.
Trusting yourself even without all the answers. Not easy, especially when emotions are running high.
You're so right. And that's where Chapter 4 comes in, emotional hijacking.
Emotional hijacking, what's that?
Those moments when big emotions like fear, anger, frustration totally take over. Reason goes out the window.
Oh yeah, been there. So how do we prevent that? Especially when facing a tough decision.
Scott's got a few strategies. First, recognize the signs. Notice those physical reactions. Tension, racing heart, shallow breathing. Your body's telling you things are escalating.
Like a warning system. Hey, things are about to get intense.
Exactly. And when you feel that, pause. Take some deep breaths. Calm down before reacting impulsively.
Deep breaths, classic but effective. Like hitting reset on your system.
Totally. And in those moments, ask yourself, is this decision aligned with my long-term goals? Am I choosing from fear or insecurity?
Great questions. Getting some perspective before emotions dictate everything.
Yep. If we can manage those emotional hijacks, it becomes way easier to make choices that truly serve us. Choices aligned with our best selves.
So it's a constant process, this self-awareness and course correcting.
It is. And not just for big decisions, but for the everyday choices that shape our lives over time.
Building healthy habits, routines that support our growth and well-being.
Exactly. Which brings us to Chapter 14, maintaining momentum. Because staying motivated, consistent long-term, that's the real challenge.
It is. You have those bursts of inspiration, big goals. Then life happens. Busyness, distractions, that initial excitement fades.
So true. And that's why Scott's big on setting short-term milestones. Smaller, achievable goals to keep you moving forward, feeling accomplished.
Break down those big, daunting things into bite-sized pieces. Love that. Less overwhelming.
And don't forget to celebrate those wins. Every step forward, big or small, deserves recognition.
Little pats on the back. Good job. Keep going. But even with milestones, staying on track can be tough.
You're right. That's why Scott talks about building a routine that supports your goals.
So not just willpower, but creating a structure that makes those healthy habits easier.
Exactly. Whether it's time for creative projects, self-care, even just reflection, consistency makes a huge difference.
A framework for success. And I like how Scott also emphasizes reevaluating, adjusting as needed.
Absolutely. Growth is dynamic. Goals and priorities shift. Staying flexible, open to new insights and changes, that's key.
Not rigidly sticking to a plan, but having the wisdom to course correct along the way.
Yeah, it's about that growth mindset, you know? Embracing the whole journey, bumps and all. And speaking of bumps, we got to remember, it's not always going to be smooth sailing. Setbacks happen, challenges pop up, those moments of doubt creep in.
Totally. Life rarely follows the plan perfectly. So how do we build that resilience to get through those tougher times?
Well, Scott's got a really interesting perspective on this in Chapter 6. He says, what if we saw setbacks not as failures, but as chances to learn?
Every mistake is a lesson.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Exactly. If we approach challenges that way, it's way easier to stay motivated, keep going.
Focusing on growth over perfection, I dig it. But that takes self-compassion too, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you're feeling down.
Huge point. Resilience isn't about being tough 24/7. It's also about giving yourself grace when you're struggling.
Acknowledging we're human, setbacks are normal. And I bet having good people around you makes a difference too.
Oh, absolutely. That support system is vital. People who lift you up, believe in you, lend an ear when you need it, makes those tough times way easier to handle.
Like a cheer squad for your personal growth journey. And speaking of connections, what about those close relationships that bring so much fulfillment? What does Scott say about building and nurturing those?
Perfect segue. Because in chapter 16, Scott's all about authenticity being the foundation of truly fulfilling relationships.
So being genuine, being yourself, that's what allows real connection.
Exactly. When you're real, it gives others permission to be real too. That builds trust, vulnerability, deeper understanding.
Dropping those masks we all wear sometimes, letting yourself be truly seen. Powerful stuff.
And alongside that, Scott highlights active listening.
Showing the other person you're present, you care about what they're saying. Makes sense.
And it deepens understanding, strengthens that bond. It's all about fostering empathy and compassion.
Love that. But being authentic, setting boundaries, can be tough for people pleasers like me.
True, it's a skill to learn. But Scott's big on healthy boundaries, protecting your time, energy, well-being.
So not selfish, but self-care.
Yeah.
So you can actually show you pee better in your relationships.
Exactly. When you have those boundaries, you're connecting from a more genuine, grounded place. Self-respect ripples outward into all your interactions.
Creating a positive vibe all around. Now, as we wrap up this deep dive, I keep thinking about what Scott says in chapter 20 about reflection.
Ah, yes. Reflecting on the journey. It's beautiful, reminding us that personal growth isn't about reaching some endpoint, but this ongoing process of evolving, discovering yourself.
Taking stock of what you've experienced, celebrating wins, learning from the tough stuff, and using all of it to keep moving forward.
Exactly. And Scott reminds us it's not about being perfect. It's about embracing the whole messy, imperfect journey.
Showing up each day, willing to learn, grow, become the best version of yourself. And on that note, I think it's time to turn it over to you, our listener. If you had to pick one of Scott's strategies to focus on this week, what would it be? What really resonates with you right now? How can you weave that into your daily life?
That's a powerful question. Take some time to really think about it.
And as always, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into sustaining fulfillment and joy. We hope you found it insightful, inspiring, maybe even a little challenging. Keep exploring, keep growing, and keep embracing this amazing journey we call life. Until next time.